Blog Talk Radio.
Another fun-filled episode of Sports Urban Legend. Along with my co-host, Macaulay Matthews, I am Wayne Rameau. So, Macaulay?
Hey, what's going on?
Nothing much, you? But a busy football day today. We're going to talk about the Jets' win yesterday against the Bengals. And they will... We'll talk about that, and they're going to face the, thanks to the Baltimore win over Patriots, they're going to face the Chargers next week. But we'll talk about that a little later. We'll talk about what's going on around the league in the postseason and the NFL. We'll talk a little hot stove with Mets officially making Jason Bay officially a Met.
Yep.
We'll talk a little hoops, you know, a little Knicks, and we'll talk a little Nets, unfortunately for the Nets fans, too. And we'll also talk a little professional wrestling with the Monday Night War with Bret returning to the WWE after 12 years, and also Hulk Hogan returning to the TNA and having the live three-hour event. We'll give you our opinions which one is better. But I guess we'll lead off with the Jets. A big win for the Jets. Of course, they stay away from being eliminated from the Bengals, who for 2 weeks in a row, they've been got their butts kicked by the Jets.
Yeah, and they made Ocho Cinco cry after the game, man.
Yeah, I saw that.
I couldn't believe that. You know, all the trash talking Ocho Cinco does, and yet he's after he loses, he cries like a girl. So.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I think he's gonna change his name from Chad Ocho Cinco to Chad Ocho Baby Baby. But that was a great win for Mark Sanchez. Only one of the four only rookies to win their first ever playoff game. He played a great game yesterday. He went 12 for 15 for 182 yards, one touchdown, and most importantly, no interceptions, no turnovers, with a 139.4 rating. He definitely played his best game as of yet.
Yeah, he played much better than Carson Palmer, who, you know, looked like he was scared. Palmer looked like he was scared all game.
Yeah.
And come on, this is the playoffs. You can't be scared, man. Just play the way you played all season long.
Yeah, he definitely looks scared out there. He also that throw, they had the early the Bengals, they came out to an early 7-0 lead when former Jet Lavernius Coles scored for the first points of the game. And then the Jets took the lead 14-0, and the rest was pretty much history. I mean, there have been some close calls with the kickers kicking two crucial field goals. And after that, the Bengals wasn't really in the game.
Yeah, I mean, the Jets just played great defense. And Bengals, they just couldn't score.
Yeah.
Ocho Cinco was shut down by Revis, and Palmer played like a bitch, and they just he just lost.
Yeah, and you talk about the defense. It was superb yet again, proving why the Jets is one of the best defense in the NFL, if you look at their statistics. Brian Thomas, Sean Ellis, and Jim Leonard yesterday each had a sack in the game. So.
Yeah. And maybe Rex Ryan is right. Maybe this team should be considered Super Bowl favorites. I mean, they're playing like it right now.
Well, they're playing good. I'm pulling for them. But Namath said, you know, the great Joe Namath, arguably, it's not even our argument. He is clearly the best quarterback in Jets history. He said that they're clearly not the favorites. Especially with the Patriots, before they got eliminated by the Ravens today, and
they got
Colts.
Yep.
So you Vikings doing great as well. You can't consider the Jets the favorite.
Yeah, that's true. But I mean, in the NFL, I mean, anyone can upset anyone. So
hey, I'm pulling for them. I'm pulling for them for the upset.
Oh yeah, I know you are.
I think they could do it. I think they could do it, but on paper you can't consider them the favorite.
Yeah, that's true. And you know, plus next week they play the tough Chargers.
Right.
Their place. So that's gonna be a tough game.
Yeah. They got their work cut out for them, you know. Sanchez he had a great game. He just gotta bottle up this game that he had, you know, going for like 80% his passes, you know, he should, keep it up, and they keep up that defense intensity, and, you know, they could go far in this postseason.
Yeah, I mean, it could
hopefully
happen.
Super Bowl, but they have a long hill to climb.
Yeah, that's true. I mean, the Cardinals last year, they were the fourth seed, something like that, and they went all the way to the Super Bowl, so...
Right.
Anything can happen.
Right about that.
So they just they have a chance.
Anything can happen. You know, once you're in the postseason and you play good defense, you know, anything could, and you get, you know, you score, you know, on timely plays, you know, anything could happen.
Yeah. So next week we got to see if the Jets keep on playing the way they've been playing, and maybe they could upset the Chargers. Who knows? Like I said, it's gonna be tough.
They're gonna have to contain the Damian LT, the new LT, or like I like to call him Lati, you know, because one LT.
Yeah.
Of course, you know that's the legendary Lawrence Taylor.
Big Giant. Yeah.
For the Giants, so I call that. Everybody wanna keep calling him LT. I'm calling him Lati.
Lati.
You know what I mean? Even though Lawrence does have an A in it after the L, but you get the idea. Yeah, I mean, hey, LaDainian Thomas is a great running back, but you gotta give that guy respect.
Yeah, that's true. Yeah, stop calling him LT. Call him Lati, like you said.
Hopefully, I'll start a movement here.
Lati, I like that.
Thank you. But
yeah, they got the Chargers have some weapons, man.
Definitely do. Phillip Rivers, you know, it's not gonna be an easy task, man.
Yeah.
Everybody wants to win the Super Bowl, so no one's gonna lie down easy.
But you know, the Jets, like I said, they've been playing good defense. So if they keep on playing the way they've been playing, then they have a great chance to defeat the Chargers. But you know, the best matchup for the Jets would have been against the Colts. Because I think they would have had a better chance to beat the Colts.
I don't know. I mean, hey, you know, they got to beat anybody they can. But I think Colts would have gave them a tougher run. I mean,
Peyton
Manning, you know.
Because the thing about the Colts is once they get to the postseason, I don't know, they play like a different team. I mean,
that's true.
Great regular seasons, but then when they go to the postseason, it's like they're a different team all of a sudden.
Yeah, other than that that Super Bowl year. I mean, other than that, they pretty much choked. But then again, they were facing the Dynasty Patriots team, so.
Yeah. But, I mean, the Chargers, they're tough, man. They're going to be a tough team.
Oh, yeah. It's definitely going to be a tough match, either way you slice it.
They haven't, I heard the Chargers haven't lost in December since, like, three years, maybe. So, you know, in December they just can't lose. But now we're in January, so it's different. But let's see if they can hold on to that momentum they carried on from December.
Yeah, they could very well do that.
Yeah.
But, you know, if just continue to play how they've been playing these last three games, they got shot.
Yeah.
Even though people want to criticize, the Jets for, getting a gift from the Colts for resting their players after their starters after the third quarter. Mm-hmm. But, hey, you know, they won last week to clinch and, you know,
win is a win.
They're in the postseason, so you know.
Yeah,
you gotta keep on winning.
Win is a win.
Yep. And I know another game that happened yesterday, a game you didn't have any rooting interest, really, was the Dallas Cowboys versus Philadelphia Eagles.
Yeah, I like that game. It was a good game because the Eagles lost. I don't want the Eagles to win because I hate them.
Yeah, I don't blame you. I'm not a fan. Being a Mets fan and whatchamacallit, Knicks, I'm not a fan of Philadelphia, especially for being a Mets fan.
Yeah.
It goes without saying.
Yeah.
Phillies with their three straight division titles.
Yeah, it's definitely annoying. Cool.
Yeah,
but they got their ass kicked by the Yankees, so should be happy about it.
Yeah, it was a lose lose situation as a Mets fan. But hey, the only bright side is that one of them had to lose, and hey, I'm glad Philly's.
Yeah, they
lost. I'm glad. In retrospect, I'm glad Philly's lost because had they won, they would have been the first team since the Big Red Machine in '75 and '76.
Yeah.
To win World Series back to back, when the Reds defeated it was Reds. They defeated Boston Red Sox and Yankees respectively.
Yeah, back to back years.
Yep. So, hey, the only person I actually kind of feel bad for a little bit is Donovan McNabb, because this guy's a good quarterback, but you know.
I don't feel bad for him.
I mean, he seemed like a nice guy, but I don't like his team, so I don't. I almost feel a little sorry for him.
Who cares? Cowboys. I mean, I was rooting for the Cowboys last night, even though I don't like the Cowboys. But Cowboys did what they had to do. They beat the hell out of the Eagles at their house, and now they're gonna move on to face the Saints next week. No, not the Saints. The Vikings. So that's going to be a tough matchup. But Cowboys are hot right now, man. They're probably the hottest team in the NFL right now. So.
Yeah, and you know, they've always been great in the regular season. And up until yesterday, Romo could never, you know, get over the postseason hump. You know, he got his first postseason win. So, you know, that could be a catalyst, you know, on his postseason run.
Yep. I'm glad for him. You know, I'm happy for him, but I hope they lose next week. But then
I'm
again,
not...
it's against Brett Favre. Although you know, this Brett Favre, I'm getting a little pissed off at him a little bit. Brett Favre. I mean,
trust me. Tell me about it. Tell me about it. I mean, this guy, you know, pretty much played for our team because he couldn't get traded to the you know, Vikings or the Bears. So he pretty much, you know, use the Jets, you know, so he could, you know, pretty much show that he's somewhat healthy, even though he did play through the injury the last four games when the Jets collapsed.
Yeah.
Last year. So, yeah, I don't like, you know, Cowboys because, you know, they're, you know, America's quote-unquote team and, you know, they have a dynasty. I mean, they used to have a dynasty in the 90s.
Yeah.
But then again, I'm rooting for them to beat the Vikings because I'm tired of Brett Favre. And hey, he didn't bring up he had a shot to, you know, to bring the Jets to the postseason, but he, you know,
he
choked. I mean, probably because of the injuries, but you know.
Yeah.
It is what it is.
Oh well, I hope he injures himself next week. Then he has to retire.
Yeah, don't be too sure about that. Yeah, that guy's a tough son of a gun, man. That, you know, this guy will play through injuries, broken ribs,
yeah,
whatever, man. This guy will play through it.
Yeah, he's like 60 years old and he's still playing. Unbelievable.
Yeah. And every offseason he's gonna be like, I don't know if I'm gonna come back or not.
Now, I respect a guy like Randy Johnson who's retired now and probably won't come back. But Brett Favre, he keeps coming back every year. I mean, come on.
Yeah, he's like the football version of your boy Roger Clemens.
Yeah, my boy. That's right.
Before he came out of the steroid, the alleged steroid stuff, you know.
Yeah. When you say boy, you act like I know Roger Clemens personally. Called me on the phone and talking.
Well, you know, he played for you guys. He won two championships with you guys, so.
Yeah.
I'm sure, and you used to defend him back in the days, you know.
Yeah, he was a good pitcher.
With the Piazza incident when it was, you know, in the Subway Series, the regular Subway Series, and, of course, in the 2000 World Series.
Well, I mean, that's Piazza's fault.
How is it Piazza's fault? I mean, you defended.
Piazza got mad at him for no reason.
So you think getting beamed in the head is nothing to be upset about?
He didn't beam him in the head.
Yes,
I'm talking about
in the regular season, the Subway Series. He hit him in the head.
But that could have been an accident.
You forgot about that? No, come on, you know that was on purpose because. If you look at his numbers, Piazza was hitting like over 500 against this guy. He owned him, man. Roger Clemens.
Okay, I think he meant to him, but I don't think he meant to him in the head, though. I think the ball just happened to hit him in the helmet.
Man, Roger Clemens might as well call Piazza George Steinbrenner, because he literally owned them and the Yankees.
Well,
so, if you want to argue that, you want to question that one, fine. But this is one that you can't argue. Game two of the World Series, when he took the piece of the bat, the shard, and Roger Clemens said he thought it was the ball, right?
Mm-hmm.
But let me ask you a question. If he thought it was the ball, why didn't he take the quote-unquote ball and throw it to first base to record the out instead of taking the piece of the bat and throwing it at Piazza? Doesn't this guy has been in baseball for over 20 years.
Yeah.
That's Little League baseball. If you feel the ball, you take the ball, you throw it to first to get the out at first. On a ground ball. This guy, he takes the bat, he waits until Piazza passes by him and throws the bat while Piazza's passing. Piazza could have got cut, you know?
No, who the hell cares about Roger Clemens and Piazza anyway?
I know this.
They're not even playing anymore.
I know that, but hey, that was the closest my team had the chance to win a championship.
Oh, hey.
Yeah, I'm still a little bitter about it, okay?
That's why you're going on this rant.
But it's true. But I honestly believe that he did it on purpose.
Oh.
It's true, man.
We'll agree to disagree.
Yeah, we'll agree to disagree, because I know if it was the other way around, if it was Leiter who hit Jeter on the head or threw a bat at him, you would have been ranting right now.
Yeah, listen, I'm not saying I know he threw a bat at him, on purpose. I'm saying like that when he hit him with the ball in the head, I think that could have been incidental. You don't know.
He meant to hit him,
but I don't know if he meant to hit him in the head. You know.
It's kind of suspicious because Piazza owned him for his career.
Yeah, I know. That's why I said I know he meant to hit him, but in the head though, I don't know.
Well, I mean, you have a point. I mean, I'm glad you finally admit it after 10 years that he probably did intend to hit him, because back in those days you were defending him, saying that, he wasn't trying to throw the bat at him, he wasn't trying to hit him, period. But I'm glad, 10 years, you kind of reflected on it as a possibility.
These days, I don't care about Roger Clemens or Piazza.
See, Yankee fans, what have you done for me lately?
There has been. Who cares?
So you say that about Reggie Jackson and all those Yogi and all those guys who won championship for you guys?
Well, I mean, I don't care about them either.
Wow.
I don't talk about them like that, Like, I don't, get hyped over them when someone talks about them,
These guys won new championships. See, that's the problem with Yankee fans, man.
Yeah, I know. I know they're legends and stuff. Yeah, I know that. But I'm saying I don't get hyped up talking about them the way you are about Piazza and Clemens. You understand what I'm saying?
I understand.
You're getting excited about talking about these guys. I don't really care much about them. It's all about the present. Not the past.
Well, it's easy for you to say, because...
What have you done for me lately?
Yeah, that's the problem with you guys.
Let's talk about A-Rod and Jeter. And the current Yankees.
So,
you understand what I'm saying?
Okay, so let me get this straight. So you care more about A-Rod than, say, Don Mattingly?
Well, I'm not saying I don't care about Don Mattingly. I care about him, but, The guy that I have to worry about these days is A-Rod, not Mattingly. Mattingly doesn't play, so.
I agree with that.
I'm not worried about what Reggie Jackson did in the past. Okay, yeah, I watch films of that all the time. Okay, I know. But I worry about the current Yankees and what the current Yankee players are doing more than the old Yankees. You see what I'm saying?
I understand where you're coming from.
I'm not saying I don't care about the old guys. I'm not saying that now. Of course, you got to care about it. That's history.
Right.
But as far as, focusing on them right now, I don't care. I mean, that's what you got to do. You got to focus on the current teaming players, right?
Well, I mean, I agree with that. But, I mean, you know, you got to give props to the guys who, you know, paved the way for other guys.
I mean, the 98 Yankees, I mean, you can't – I mean, they're a great team, but you can't really focus on them that much right now. There was 98. You know, let's focus on the 2009 Yankees. Right now.
Well, by your own definition, you said let's forget about the past. We're in 2010 now. So shouldn't
exactly.
you worry about 2010 instead of 2009?
Well, 2009 was just this past year. So, you know, still in our minds, so, you know.
Yeah, I'm messing with you. You're right. You have
like the 86 Mets. I mean, people still hold on to that. I mean, come on now. It was 86. Forget about it already.
But you fail to realize that's the number one. That's the last time you know Mets have won. And unlike the Yankees.
Yeah, but you guys need to move on and focus on winning this year.
We can't move on because unlike the Yankees, you know, you guys win titles. When we're good, that's when the whole city really pays attention to baseball because it's like, oh my gosh, the Mets are actually good. You know, it's like few and far between. So
yeah,
when the Mets actually.
Aaron Story doesn't play for the current Mets, though.
That's true, but.
You know?
But we have the Mets fans, you know, in general, you know, they have a better appreciation for, you know, the guys who, you know, who took us to the World Series, let alone win it. Once you win it, you know, you're a legend. You know, you're one of the greatest teams of all time.
You know, holding on to the past too much. I mean,
I understand what you mean.
It's gonna affect how you look at the present. I mean, if you get dumped by a girl in the past, I mean, you're not going to really think about it, right? You want to forget about it, move on.
Well, yeah, the good thing is, like you said, it's a move on, but then again, you never know. It could have some people might have a, you know, lingering effect.
You got to find a new girl.
Say what?
You got to find a new girl.
Well, yeah, but then again, this is the same team, so it's, well, I mean, I get your point.
You know what I'm saying? Yeah, I was, sorry about that. My baby sister's making noise.
Cool.
Hold on. I'm gonna go hit her. Hold on for a second.
No, boy.
No, just joking. I just gonna give a little tap, you know, a little tap on the hand.
Cool.
But I'm just joking. Anyway, yeah, she's like Maggie.
Mm-hmm.
Maggie from The Simpsons.
Oh, speaking of which, they have today's the 20th anniversary.
Yeah, I heard about that.
They're gonna give after the all new episode at 8:30 to 9:30. They're gonna have a 20th anniversary special.
Yeah, I'll check that out along with Tough Love, which I love watching on VH1.
This season's good.
Yeah, it's about to end.
Yeah, I think my oldest sister watches that. I've seen a little of the first season before.
Yeah, it's a good show. You know? It just shows you that women don't know what the hell they want. They don't know what kind of guy they want. They're confused.
Well, I mean, it's, you know, I guess, you know, it shows that it's tough for them, you know, to find the, you know, the guy, you know, a right guy for them. Like, you know, it is for, you know, us single dudes to find the right lady, so.
They don't know whether they want a Tiger Woods or David Wright, you know?
Or Jeter, well, I guess Jeter and
a player
would be the same
boy,
thing,
you know?
But like you said, you know, we should, you know, focus on the modern teams.
Exactly. I mean, it's all good to cherish the past and honor the great players of the past. I mean, you can't put that much focus on the old players, you know?
Well, I agree with that, but, you know, you got to, you know, pay your respects to them.
I mean, the Hall of Fame does that. That's what the Hall of Fame does.
Well,
we don't need to be the Hall of Fame.
But yeah, but teams have their own, you know, Hall of Fame. You know, Mets have their own. Of course,
yeah,
Yankees
too.
You know, you have your Monument Park.
Exactly. And Yankees do it every year. You know, they'll have the, they still hold
the old-timers.
Old-timers games, you know.
Yeah, Mets used to do that, but unfortunately they stopped doing that. I would hope they would, you know, try that, you know, start doing that again. Go back to the old school, you know, banner day where in the 60s they used to have fans, you know, write on a banner, you know, their opinions on the team. Sure, nowadays it would be a lot of negative stuff, but
right,
it was like the internet on paper, if you want to look at it that way. But on to the current Mets, what you think about the Jason Bay signing?
I think it's great. I mean, like I said, you know, he's going to have a – yeah, the guy has a lot of power, though he does strike out a bit. But he'll be great for Citi Field. You know, I think him and Wright are going to get into a fight to see who's the toughest white guy on the team. The fight might be between him, Francoeur, and Wright. To see what white guy is tougher.
I don't think there's any debate who's the leader of the clubhouse, period. David Wright, he is the face of the franchise, so
yeah,
there won't be no fighting between him, Francoeur, Santana, not even Reyes, who, even though Reyes is the longest tenured Met.
Yeah.
Because I was thinking before that, you know, they should, you know, split the captaincy between him and Reyes, Wright and Reyes, but it doesn't look like Reyes wants to be a leader. He just, you know, wants to go out and play his game. So
yeah,
I guess, you know, Wright should just assume the captaincy role that he deserves.
Why don't they just give it to Santana? Make Santana and Wright co-captains.
Generally speaking, they don't. With the exception of John Franco with the Mets in the 90s and early 2000s, pitchers aren't generally captains. It's usually, you know, position players who play every day, you know, the star of the team.
Mm-hmm.
But on to the Jason Bay, I really like that signing. You know, like you alluded to, he's you know, gonna bring a lot of power. For the last 5 years, he's been hitting over 300, knocked over 100 RBIs. Sure, he strikes out a lot. He struck out 162 times last year, which is a lot. But then again, when you put up the numbers he's putting up, you know, it's understandable that he strikes out. Because, you know, if you're not Pujols, you're going to strike out at least over 100 times. So.
Yeah.
I like the signing. The only thing that I regret about the signing is that with that, it pretty much destroys the dream of Mets fans having Carl Crawford playing left field for us. But, hey, Jason Bay, he'll be a terrific addition to the Mets offense. There's nothing wrong you could say about the guy. He replaced Manny Ramirez, you know, in the batting order, and he hit clutch as a Red Sox, and, you know, hopefully he'll keep it up with the Mets. So I like the signing, but hopefully this will not be the last major move by the Mets in 2010.
Yeah, hopefully he could hit home runs in that ballpark of yours.
I think he could. Mets even whatchamacallit, they kept a chart of his fly balls, and they see that the way how he pulls the ball, it appears he has like that Adam Dunn type power that no baseball could hold his home runs. So
he goes to left. He hits a lot of his balls to left field.
Left center. And if you remember, Wright's problem is right center. So. They should be fine.
Yeah.
And right now, Wright is currently working with Hojo, Howard Johnson, a member of the 86 team. They're working together on how David Wright's going to be go back to be a better pull hitter, so he can, you know, hit more, you know, home runs like he used to. Because prior to last year when he had 10 home runs and knocked in 72, this guy averaged 29 home runs throughout his career.
Yeah, I think he'll be good. I think he'll be good to get back to his old self.
Yeah, I think so, too.
Start hitting home runs again, you know.
And imagine him actually knocking 72 RBIs, because Reyes was hurt most of the year since May. Beltran, you know, of course, got in the DL. Wright himself got on the DL when he got hit on the head with the Matt Cain pitch in the head.
And you think that was you think that was on purpose too, huh? Don't you?
The Matt Cain?
Yeah.
No, I don't think so. Cause,
okay.
The way he was reacting. Plus, if I remember correctly, he was 0-2 on Wright before he plunked him in the head.
Oh.
And his reaction he had on the on the mound after he hit him, he looked like he was apologetic. But the crazy thing about it is when he was leaving on the mound, the fans were booing him. I guess Kane is not used to fans being so booing him. He start like showing up the fans like what did I do, like, you know, kind of like taunting them. So it's like he didn't understand that, you know, fans are going to react. When Pedro hit Jeter in the postseason and Soriano back to back,
weren't
the Yankee fans pissed off?
Of course.
So yeah, he obviously didn't get it, because when they pulled him out of the game, you know, the fans were booing him and stuff like that. He was like kind of like motioning his hand, like kind of like how Bret Hart, you know, when he comes into the ring, like what did I do, kind of, you know what I mean?
Yeah.
But.
Well, I mean, the Met lineup, there's a lot of injured players in that lineup, so, you know, it was hard for Wright to carry all the load by himself too.
Yeah, and of course Delgado was hurt most of the year. He had he hurt himself, and he had a hip problem, and he's in a winter ball as we speak, trying to resurrect his career.
Yeah, you guys will definitely. You guys are gonna bring him back, huh?
Yeah, most likely, if he remains healthy, they're definitely gonna bring him back.
Hmm.
And looks like they're trying to still go after Molina. Last indications is that Mets is still offering a 1 year with an option for Molina, and Molina, as of right now, that we know of, is still asking for a 3-year deal.
These are greedy.
Yeah, this guy's 36 years old. I mean.
Yeah, and he's fat.
Yeah, well, he's the slowest guy in baseball. I mean, on the bases. I've always been a fan of the guy as a catcher, you know, back to his Anaheim days, but 3 years, that's crazy.
Yeah. Although it's not bad, though. I mean, he might still be good by then.
Yeah, but this guy, I mean, he was hitting in the cleanup for the powerless Giants, who has a horrible, you know, offense. And by the grace of their pitching, Lincecum, the aforementioned Matt Cain, the retired Randy Johnson, they had a great pitching rotation. But what's his name? He had, since he was the hitting cleanup for them, he didn't have any protection other than Pedro Sandoval, aka the big the Kung Fu Panda.
Yeah.
If you remember.
Yeah,
that,
I know
that.
I got
that Giants versus Mets game when he hit a home run off of Santana. My memory served me right.
Oh.
But
yeah, kind of looks like him. Kind of looks like an older version of him, kind of.
Yeah. Benjamin Molina does kind of look like an older version of him. now that you mentioned that. But this guy, you know, he hit a career high 20 home runs. Benji Molina, of course, I'm speaking about.
Yeah.
But his plate discipline is atrocious, and he's a walking double play waiting to happen.
Yeah, with his
speed, it'll be a triple play.
Yeah, the guy can't run at all. Slow as hell.
And unfortunately, Frank Cora is all too familiar with triple plays against the Braves last year. To end the game. To end the game. A game-ending triple play.
Wow.
That and the Castillo ball, that they play on yes every single second of every day.
Well,
those are two games that stick out very vividly for a Mets fan.
Well, there are a lot of those plays last year for the Mets. I mean, you saw it all with the Mets.
Yeah, unfortunately. And we're just talking about 2009. We're not even talking about the 02, the 03 Mets.
Oh, no, 2009 was a season of bloopers.
Yeah, but the decade other than 2000 and 2006, Mets have been, this decade, they've been known to do a lot of that.
Hey, why didn't you guys go after Vladimir Guerrero? He was available.
This guy's a DH, man. I used to be a fan of this, you know, this guy, wanted him to, this guy to come on the Mets, you know. Since he was with the Expos, hoping that this guy would sign with the Mets. But, of course, you know, Mets didn't. Mets gave him a little contract, and he signed with the Angels because they were afraid of his back.
A one-year deal, $5 million contract.
This year, he's you know, he's not as great as he was defensively when he was with the Expos. And
I mean, he could still hit.
Yeah, he could hit, but not in the postseason.
Yeah. Been struggled a little bit in the postseason.
Man, in the postseason, it's like he's hitting against Al Leiter.
Yeah.
I don't know if you remembered, but he spent most of his career when Leiter was with the Mets, you know, in the 90s. I mean, early 2000s, I should say. This guy was hitless against Leiter until, like, late in, probably in the last year of Leiter's career with the Mets, before he went to the Yankees, and the Marlins when he retired. When Vladimir Guerrero got his first hit, he actually saved the ball. Yeah, I'm serious.
First hit against Leiter and he saved the ball?
Yeah, man, he finally got a hit on Leiter.
Wow. I didn't know that.
Yeah, because, you know how Leiter is. Leiter is, you know, he's a... you know, he's a guy who, as the saying goes, you know, he wears his heart on his sleeve. This guy, when he's on the mound, he's always huffing and puffing. It's like this guy want to throw a perfect game every time he comes to the mound. This guy, it's like he wants to throw a no hitter like he did with the Marlins before he came to the Mets. Every time
sometimes,
this guy gives up.
Sorry about that.
Oh, what were you saying?
Oh no, you can go on.
Oh yeah, I was just saying like. Every time this guy gives up a hit or a walk, forget about a run. Once this guy gives up a hit or a walk, this guy is like huffing and puffing. He's talking to himself. It looks like he's cursing, but I mean, there's no mic, so
yeah.
Who knows? But this guy was a very passionate guy on the Mets.
But sometimes, you know, his games take a long time.
Oh yeah, trust me. Ball three, ball four.
Yeah, he tries to be too perfect.
Oh yeah. He's definitely a perfectionist on the mound. 3-2 on everybody.
Tell me about it.
Yeah, that guy. I still like Leiter, even though he was the ace for most of the from let's say about 99 to 2004, I'd say about probably 2003. From 99 to 2003, he was the ace of the Mets.
Who would you say? Would you say Al Leiter is a Hall of Famer?
As much as I like Al Leiter, I don't think he's a Hall of Famer.
Oh.
I mean, he won championship with the Blue Jays. The guy, I mean, he was a competitor, but he doesn't have the wins. He doesn't even have 200 wins.
Yeah.
Yeah,
probably
has probably 300 strikeouts away from 2,000. I mean, he had a very good, a solid major league career, but Hall of Famer, no. I'd say Mike Mussina, Bert Blyleven, with his 283 wins. Jim Cott with 287. Those guys should go in before him.
Yeah, and you were like, I remember a few years ago, you were bad-mouthing Mike Mussina too.
Yeah, I mean, I always thought Mike Mussina was overrated, but hey, the guy won 20 games, you know, in his last year. So, you know, that was my big argument against the guy, that the way how people hyped him up.
Yeah, but this guy was a great pitcher for the Orioles, man. This guy was
one of the
top pitchers in the American League.
Yeah, he was. He was an ace for the Orioles. And then when he went to the Yankees, he was like probably a number two or number three at best with them.
Yeah.
Probably until the last year. His last year with the Yankees, he was an ace. But other than that, he was, you know, with the Yankees, he was pretty much a number two, number three starter on that team. I mean, a real good one, but, I mean, that just shows how, you know, for the most part, other than the Carl Pavanos, Kevin Brown, Cade Gowas of the world, you guys always have, you know, great pitching. Generally speaking,
okay. I don't think this guy was ever overrated. I think he was always a hard worker. Guy always won almost 20 games every year. I mean, he was one of the best pitchers in the American League for a long time. And this guy, I always remember the 2003 playoffs when he came out of the bullpen to pitch. So.
Yeah, I remember that as well.
So whatever you ask him to do, he would do it.
Yeah, I mean, he was a good pitcher, but I did think he was a little overrated. I didn't think the guy sucked by any means, but I just thought the guy was a little overrated. But, you know, hey, I give the guy props.
Yeah, hopefully he'll go in the Hall of Fame. We'll see.
Yeah, you never know. Congratulations to Andre Dawson, I should say.
Yeah.
Getting into the Hall of Fame. And a shocker, former Met, former Oriole, former Blue Jay, former Padre, Roberto Alomar. He didn't, and also a Cleveland Indian. Roberto Alomar, he didn't go into the Hall of Fame.
And, you know, remember the reason I told you why he didn't vote him in, right?
Yes, I do.
Because,
yeah, I believe
you know.
Said that because he had AIDS. He got AIDS, allegedly.
Well, I was joking about that.
Well, yeah.
I joked that, you know, they didn't vote him in because he has AIDS and he played for the Mets.
Oh, right. Yeah, you did say the Mets. Right.
But in real life, though, the reason he didn't get him because he spit on the umpire when he was with the Orioles. And he quit on the Mets when he played for them.
Yeah, John Hirschberg. But yeah. I think he's going to get in next year.
Yeah, probably.
Yeah, Bert Blyleven, him and Bert Blyleven missed it by a point or two to the Hall of Fame. And up until this point, nobody in history who's reached in the 70%, at least 70%, and missed the Hall of Fame, the next year they always go in.
Yeah.
Next year's not gonna be a strong free agent class. I mean, not free agent, Hall of Fame class. So those two definitely should be a shoo-in to go in to the Hall of Fame.
Yeah. Do you think the reason they voted not to put Alomar in is because they thought his AIDS would infect other Hall of Famers?
Oh, no, that's bad. That's cold. That's cold.
I'm joking around. I'm joking around.
No, I think
getting next year. Who knows?
Yeah, but, I think they'll get him. But he'll definitely he should definitely go in next year. Brett Bly 11-2. I mean, this guy has 283 wins. Or is it 287? He has over 3,000 strikeouts. This guy's a, I mean, sure, he's won championships too.
Yeah.
With the Pirates and the Twins. And he pitched on other than those championship teams, he pitched mostly on horrible teams. And a huge negative that Bert Blylevin has is that he had 250 losses.
Right.
But that's because he stays in, you know, he takes tough losses too.
Mhm.
But yeah, I think the guy should go into the Hall of Fame.
Yeah, he should. So is Andre Dawson, he's the only player to go into the Hall of Fame this year.
Yeah, he's the only player.
Even though some people say he didn't deserve to go into the Hall of Fame.
Yeah, I saw that as well.
He has great numbers.
Yeah, he has 437 home runs.
Yeah.
I mean, with the steroid era that just passed, him, it makes a pale in comparison.
Yeah.
But the guy, you know, he had bad knees, and he, you know, still produced. He was a 1987 rookie of the, I mean, not rookie. He won the MVP in 1987.
Yep. He was a rookie of the year also.
Yeah. His batting average wasn't all that great.
Right.
Like in the, say about maybe I think between 270s and maybe 280, early 280s.
Yeah.
But congratulations to him.
Yeah, sorry for Alomar. Maybe next year, Alomar.
Yeah, that's, if history teaches us anything, him and Bert Blylevin, maybe Barry Larkin, they might get in, and maybe Bagwell might get in too.
Next year.
But we shall see.
Yeah. Hey, well, let's talk about some WWE. You want to?
Yeah, sure. Well, of course, you know, there was a Bret Hart return to WWE. And
about that.
What you said?
I was excited about that, man. I was just excited like a 5-year-old, man.
Yeah, I could imagine. I know you're a huge Bret Hart fan.
Oh yeah, the Hitman.
And I was actually excited myself, and like I told you last week, I never saw the guy, fight, live on TV.
Yeah.
Back in the days, you know, I started following wrestling around, 99, so he already left WWE and went to WCW.
Yep.
By that time. But I was actually excited, because, I saw some of his, some of his epic matches mostly with Shawn Michaels. As a matter of fact, I saw the ladder match that I bought from your brother, the first ever ladder match against him and Shawn Michaels
for the Intercontinental
title. Yeah, it was. It really showed you the promise of what a ladder match could, how it elevated the ladder match.
Yep.
And then, of course, the Shawn Michaels and Razor Ramon matches, that really put it to that next level.
Oh, yeah. That WrestleMania 10 one was the best.
No question about that. But with Bret, I thought the best part was clearly when he confronted Shawn Michaels and they shook hands and, buried, as they said, buried the hatchet.
Yeah.
But one thing I'd have to criticize is that the hug looked a little too fake.
Yeah, he looked like he's about to super kick him, and then he gave this little weak hug.
Yeah.
It wasn't even like a full frontal hug. It was like a side hug.
Yeah. But it was still a WWE moment.
Yeah.
But other than Bret Hart, returning and burying the hatchet with Shawn Michaels. It was pretty typical, boring WWE of 2009.
Man, same matches. Same matches every Monday. Same matches every Monday night. Kofi Kingston versus Randy Orton. DX.
Yep, DX with Hornswoggle.
Yeah,
it was a boring match, man. And the ending of Raw was predictable. You know, Vince McMahon was gonna attack him eventually.
Yeah.
But TNA, I mean, coming from two WWE fans like you and myself, TNA blew WWE out of the water. Let me repeat that.
TNA was much better.
TNA blew WWE out of the water.
TNA was much better on Monday night, man. They had all the superstars aligned. They had what's his name? Jeff Hardy come back. TNA.
Yeah.
Hogan.
And that was after that whole
Lashley.
Yeah, Bobby Lashley, who said that he retires.
Yeah.
He quits and he's gonna just focus on MMA.
Yep. And it was just better.
Yeah. The only bad thing about it was that how the cage match ended. I liked the cage match up until Hernandez. Was it Homicide or was it Hernandez? I forgot. Which one? No, I think it was Homicide. It was Homicide. He takes the he takes like a club and start hitting everybody. And then normally WWE fans, you know, pretty much when you're in a cage, it implies that, you know, there's no disqualification, anything goes.
Yeah.
This is a cage match, you know. People most likely get bloodied, you know. It's like a war in a cage, man.
Mm-hmm.
For lack of a better term. And then they got, you know, the guy got disqualified, and then the fans were saying this is BS, you know, because they said the whole word, but
yeah,
it could be Katie's watching, listening to the show too.
TNA's not WWE though.
Yeah, maybe some WWE Universe John Cena fans could be listening to us right now.
Yeah, TNA was much better that night, man.
Yeah.
And I'm gonna start watching TNA more because of that. You know?
Me too. They mission accomplished. I'm gonna definitely check out TNA also.
Yeah, I want to see what happens next.
Yep. Shoot. Hopefully WWE will do better than how the Knicks did yesterday.
Oh man, the Knicks suck. Well, they don't suck. They ain't playing much better, but they sucked yesterday.
Yeah, they did suck yesterday. Well, we'll give them a pass for one day, even though they played horrible. David Lee, you know, he had his typical double-double. He had like 28 points. No, probably 4 points, 12 rebounds. You know, this guy's continuing to do what he's done. I mean, he's actually knocking down the long jumper.
Yep. He's doing good. The Knicks are going to make the playoffs this year, man.
Yeah, they're 15-21. They gotta keep winning, though.
Yeah.
Defense. And they gotta start, especially in this horrible East.
Yep.
But, of course, you know what time it is.
Yeah. The time again.
Thank you, ladies and gentlemen, for listening to the show. I wanna thank you, McCauley, for coming on the show.
Thank you.
And thank you, ladies and gentlemen, for listening to another episode of Question of Final Pitches. I'll see you next week. Let's go, Jeff. See you next week.
See ya.